Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul.
Sisters from all over planet Earth, this is your conductor and host, Kanya, on the Tree of Life show on Blake Radio Network at the Rainbow Soul. Now, we have an interesting program for you tonight, but we're having a little technical problems right here, so I'm going to be calling my guest so to have her on the show because somehow or another the computer won't let me get into the network. I was saying, the situation with Susan, when we can get her on the line, is that she actually, this was the evening of April the 17th, 1980, and Susan Ward was packing for her next day's business trip when she received a call from Panama that changed her life. Her 17-year-old son, Matthew, had died after our vehicle crashed that same day. Now, the loss of a child has such an immeasurable impact upon the family that Susie's preoccupation with Matthew's death would not be considered quite unusual. The direction she took in trying to cope with her grief, however, might be considered that. She called a medium with whom she had become friendly 3 years before when they had lived in the same city, and asked about her son. The medium told her that her son was in deep rest. She would receive an unmistakable sign when he was ready to send a message. And when that time came, she would be led to a trustworthy medium. So the sign came about 9 months later, in her first dream about Matthew since his death, and in months that followed, she learned first of a medium in Virginia, then one in Maryland, and later another in Delaware. None of them knew each other, and none asked Susie anything except her son's name. Yet all accurately described Matthew's physical appearance and personality. They told her the cause of his death, and the ease of his transition. They talked about his new interests in life, or his new interests and activities, sometimes with a progress report on an educational pursuit that he was undergoing, or even piano lessons. And they gave her an explicit information just on how her own, even about her own life, even details that she alone knew. So they could, actually, they could tell her all of the things because they were merely passing them on because of the fact this is what Matthew was telling her or telling them. See, the love between Matthew and his mother was the inseparable bond that enabled him to be aware of her comings and goings. Matthew also told all of those who spoke with him that when the time was right, he and his mother could communicate directly. But even when that same assurance came from a medium Susie met later, after a move to California, she could not help but doubt that Matthew ever would talk with her directly. Why would such a unique gift in her mind, telepathic communication was that, come to such an unremarkable person as she, to someone with no aptitude for anything extrasensory, no training in anything New Age, no knowledge of ancient spiritual beliefs, to someone who long ago had abandoned 35 years of religious upbringing because it never had been spiritually fulfilling. But it did happen. It was early February 1994, almost 14 years after Matthew's death, when he started speaking to his mother. It was not simply her longing for this moment that created it. It was something definitely extraordinary was happening. All right, maybe we can get it right now.
Hello, Kanya.
Susie, how are you?
Oh, I am fine, dear.
It's my fault. I know you didn't call because my computer couldn't accept your call.
But yeah, I have called three times.
Yes, I know.
And I heard you speak about the technical difficulties.
Yes, these things do happen, and I was just telling people that you'd be with us very shortly. I just felt it very deeply. And as a matter of fact, I was telling them about the situation when Matthew started speaking to you directly. Why don't you say a little bit about that since it happened to you?
Okay, but first, may I ask you to speak a little louder, please?
Okay. Is that better?
Oh, it is.
All right.
Yes, much better. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Well, goodness, I don't want to repeat anything that you said.
No, start from the beginning, from your perspective, because it's altogether different when you speak.
Okay. Well, I would say that the first thing was that I was so surprised, pleasantly so, that right off the bat, Matthew said, you know, Mother, record what I'm going to be telling you.
Uh-huh.
And so, I won't say day one, because day one I was so shocked. That I was taking shorthand notes, but I quickly went to the computer after that, and I had been anticipating that if we ever did connect, that it would be just little short fragments of news about his life, such as I had heard from the mediums whom he talked with and said, okay, tell my mother this. And we talked for over an hour every day.
And this was through the medium, right?
No, this is Matthew and I speaking telepathically together.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And the very first book, which is Matthew, Tell Me About Heaven, is a selection of our conversations during the first 3 to 4 weeks after our connection opened.
Wow.
So he was absolutely full of information that he wanted me to record. And it was a little later on, though, that I found out that the intention of our connection was that I would prepare the information that he gave me and that many, many other sources that he introduced to me. I was to record it and then publish it.
Okay, let me repeat what I understood you to say. Now, you were saying that your son Matthew died in an automobile crash when he was 17 years old, and it was just, I think, was it 10 or 14 years later that you were able to get in touch with him through a medium? Is that correct?
No, not through a medium.
Oh.
You're right about the 14 years. It was almost 14 years.
Right.
But Matthew and I connected directly.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy, that really blows my mind. I thought it was through a medium. Now, in terms
No. That was what came earlier.
Okay.
They told me that someday Matthew and I would be communicating directly.
All right. How did that work now? I mean, were you in a trance? Were you... I can't understand how you could speak to someone that had passed on directly. Could you explain that a little bit, please?
Well, I don't go into a trance. I hear his voice as clearly as if he were sitting beside me speaking to me. Now, somebody else who is, right beside me would not hear that,
uh-huh,
because telepathic communication is soul-to-soul conversation.
Thank you, yes. And so in any event, he was telling you, I think because it was amazing to me that he was saying to you that, Mama, I'm not dead, I'm busy here, and I'm in Nirvana. And didn't he say he had his six dogs with him, too?
No, but he was very much, well, he did have some of the dogs with him that he knew in his lifetime as my son Matthew.
Wow.
But when he referred to the six dogs, he was so aware of my life that Bob and I did have six dogs at the time that Matthew and I started communicating telepathically.
I'll be darned. See, that's really astounding. So in other words, this was the first experience with, on your part, with communication with so-called dead people?
Yes, and you're right. We do tend to think of the people whose physical life on Earth has ended as dead.
Right.
Their physical bodies do die.
Uh-huh.
They had completed their purpose for embodying here, and they no longer needed the bodies because they manifested those so they could experience what they had chosen to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when they complete that, they don't need those bodies anymore.
Right.
Because we are souls.
We are not our bodies, you're saying.
That's right.
Soul.
We are not these bodies.
Right.
We use these bodies.
All right.
And when we're through, we don't need them any longer. So we go back to the spirit world. Matthew said the proper name of Earth's spirit world is Nirvana.
Uh-huh, that's the Buddhist name for that state. Yes, Nirvana.
And they're right, according to Matthew. At any rate, there is no such thing as death.
Right.
The life of the spirit is eternal.
Amen to that. That's so beautiful, because we were just discussing the execution of a man here in Georgia, and I was sharing that opinion with his friends that he is not dead because his physical body has been, taken away, but his spirit is who he really is, and he is alive and well. And I think that was very, very reassuring to the people that have been doing all this mourning.
Oh, and it should be. It should be. Are you speaking now of Troy?
Yes, yes, Troy Davis.
I signed a number of petitions to not execute him. He served an invaluable purpose,
right,
by leaving this body that he no longer needed.
Right.
He brought capital punishment even closer to the spiritual consciousness that taking a life for whatever reason,
right,
never is a godly act. It is a man-made law here that many, many people are working to have changed.
Right.
They are working on their inspiration and inner knowing that this is wrong.
Yes, let me ask you a question. Now, did Matthew ever refer to Troy Davis when in his messages? I understand he gets a message from, he sends you a message once a month, is it?
Well, yes. It is once a month. I work on it in increments for about a week. As I have time prior to my distributing it. No, he hasn't. But he has not mentioned Troy in any of the messages.
I see.
Of course, he and I have talked about that.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. I see.
Yes, we chat every day about, you know, all sorts of things.
Every day? Oh, that's incredible.
Oh, we do, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be at the computer to do that.
Mm.
I chat with God almost every day. If any of your audience know who Hatan is, well, for those who may not, Hatan is in a physical civilization. He is an intergalactic fleet commander, and he is also he has many hats, but the two principal ones are as the intergalactic fleet commander, and another is director of communication, and this is in a universal context, of course, between Earth and all other civilizations.
Is there any way that the people listening could contact? You say his name is Hatan, A-T-O-N, is that correct?
No, Hatan, H-A-T-O-N-N.
Oh, H-A-T-O-N-N. And is there any way a person could pull up his website or get some further information about him?
I would say this, in a number of the messages that are posted on my site,
mm-hmm.
there are about 120 messages posted there. They start where the publication of the four Matthew books left off.
What is your site, by the way? So people can call, pull it up.
Yes, thank you. It's matthewbooks.com. MATTHEWBOOKS.com.
Uh-huh.
And go to Matthew's Messages in the menu.
Uh-huh.
And at the top of that page, there is a little search blank, and just type in H-A-T-O-N-N.
Oh, that's how you
And do that. That will bring up all the messages where Hatan has contributed to Matthew's messages. Also, there is an index that is extremely helpful because it also brings up... Well, it's the whole index, but just scroll down to Hatan, and the paragraphs are numbered in
mm-hmm.
the messages.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that you have also quite a list of the messages that you received from Matthew. How many would you say there are? I didn't count them all.
Well, they all are considered Matthew's messages.
Uh-huh.
Even those that... really are messages from God
uh-huh.
that some of which are published in the four Matthew books and others just come from another book that I contributed to called Then God Said, Then I Said, Then God Said. But at any rate... they all are on Matthew's Messages page,
uh-huh.
and they are listed, the last message first, listed by date and key topics.
I see, because I just pulled up one dated, I think, October the 12th or something like that? The last
the
one?
The last one is October 10th,
October
I think.
10th, yes, yes. And yes. So then I saw a long list of them back. How far does that list go?
It goes back to December of 2003.
Oh, wow.
And you're right that they, with just a few exceptions,
mm-hmm.
They are monthly messages.
Wow, that's an incredible amount of information that people can just pick up and examine that and judge for themselves. Now,
exactly, yes. And that's, that's so important, what you just said, Kanya, about read them and judge for themselves. If that if the information resonates with them.
Exactly. Can I take a quick little break here? We're talking to a seriously beautiful lady by the name of Susan Ward, and this is the Tree of Life show on Rainbow Soul, part of the Blake Radio Network. And we'll continue on with our conversation. She was telling me about how her son, Matthew, died in an automobile accident when he was 17 and how she's been communicating directly with him telepathically. And she has, I'd say, seriously, 50 or 100 different messages that you can pull up on your computer if you go to her website. Her website is Matthewsbooks.com, and let's get back to talking to Susan, because I'm so interested in what you were saying. Are you there, Susan?
Oh, yes, okay. I am. I'm sorry. I was waiting for you to continue, either ask a question or a comment on something.
Yes. All right, I will ask you this, because even though Matthew is what they say departed, he seems to have a tremendous amount of information about what's going on nowadays. And I was just curious. That's amazing, isn't it?
Well, it is to me, frankly.
It is to me. Yeah.
Yes. There are a number of sources of information. But before I mention that, may I say something about telepathic communication very quickly?
Please.
Okay. I am not unique.
Okay.
Every single one of us has the capacity for telepathic communication on the same basis that I have. Absolutely direct connection to communicate with other souls in spirit worlds or in physical civilizations.
Why don't we do it? Because,
one thing. We don't know we have it.
Uh-huh.
Some religious dogmas even teach that it's fine to talk with God, but if you hear God answer you, that is Satan.
Yeah, the work of the devil. That's what they tell me.
Yeah. Now that doesn't even make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, it's simply our not knowing that each of us is a part of God.
Amen.
And as that soul energy, it is our birthright to communicate directly. We have that capacity as an inherent part of our souls.
Now, didn't Matthew also say that these capacities are going to intensify as we come into 2012?
Well, they are. We are already in higher vibrations.
Right.
That many telepathic connections are opening. It is so gratifying for me to be receiving emails from so many people whose telepathic connections are opening.
Right.
And it's necessary to know that in this time where everything is moving so quickly throughout the universe, and therefore on Earth too,
right.
That both dark entities and light beings are eager to get in touch with us. The dark ones want to influence us with fearful information because that's the kind of energy that they need to sustain themselves. So it's important to ask for protection of the Christed light, demand that only light beings may contact you. And in fact, Matthew just told me, he reminded me that in his last message, October 10th message, right at the end of the message, there is guidance for novice telepathic communicators. So it would be a very good idea for all of your listeners to go to my website, again, Matthew Books, and go to Matthew's Messages page, and that is the message at the top, and read that part.
I certainly agree with you on that. And isn't it also true that some of these children that they call indigo or crystal children already have this capacity?
Oh, well, we all have the capacity. They have developed it.
Exactly.
Yes. They, and not only the capacity for telepathic communication. I mean, they can communicate with each other wherever in the world they are, because they are definitely not all in the United States by any means.
Right.
But they have other capacities that also are inherent parts of the soul, like teleportation and telekinesis.
Tell people what teleportation and telekinesis is, because I don't think everybody understands those terms.
Okay. I can understand that. I didn't understand either of those for a long time.
Right.
Teleportation is being able to travel spiritually or astrally, I guess I could say here.
Right.
The body stays right where it is, but the soul can travel wherever. So these individuals who are known sometimes by those designations indigo and crystal can travel wherever they are and talk and have meetings together and laugh and plan whatever while their bodies remain put.
Well, I sure wish we could take some phone calls right now. Maybe I'll be able to hook this connection up so that we can do so, because I know there are quite a number of people out there that have had these experiences, and sometimes they thought they were a little crazy, but I'm glad to see that you're saying that is a natural potential gift of everybody, and more people...
It is, yes. And we will be developing those gifts. As Earth continues on her accelerated ascension course.
Right. Now, would you speak for a moment about reincarnation? Because evidently, Matthew is not going to stay in the spirit world forever, is he? Isn't he going to come back?
No, he's not even there now.
Oh.
But would you like me to explain telekinesis?
Oh, please do, yes.
Yeah, okay. And this is the ability to use the power of thought to move things from one place to another, or to change the form of something, or to dematerialize something.
Give me an example of that, how they would change the form of something.
You know, actually, I did this in an exercise one time where the object was that everybody had a metal spoon.
Mm.
And just by the power of thought that I could push down on the bowl of the spoon,
mm-hmm.
I was able to do that.
But
that was very guided, and it was the energy was so high because everybody there was focused on the same thing. However, a very close friend of one of my sons, when we were, the family was all having dinner one night, I saw her move her knife from its place beside her plate, just scoot out into the center of the table. So it doesn't have to be that group energy or that group conscious focus on something. An individual can do this.
And people are not crazy when they have that power. Because
no. We, the thing is, again, we all have it. And when we... When this happens, as these, you know, through self-discovery and through belief, these things happen. Our bodies also have self-healing mechanisms, but we keep getting in the way of them through established medicine and believing that it's only through doctors and prescription drugs that we're going to be healed.
If you were
often,
to take illness right now, how would you heal yourself?
Okay, for one, yeah, and I better back up a minute there.
Okay.
I'm glad you asked that. Because we do choose to experience things in our soul contracts to balance experiencing in other lifetimes. The importance of balance is that in balance, there is a reconciliation of light and dark. Now, we all have the capacity to choose thoughts and actions that are within the light, and we have the opportunity to choose thoughts and actions that are in the dark, or, scientifically speaking, positive light, negative dark. There actually is no difference between science and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how we interpret it. And there is no difference between light and love. It is all the same energy.
God is love. Yes.
Yes, it is the pure essence of God and in which all of us is created. Or all of us are created. Each of us is the individual aspect of God created
right.
in God's love, light, energy. But we have the free will to do whatever we want to, and God has to honor that free will. So
mm-hmm.
he can't interfere.
I see.
But love dash light, or speaking of it as the energy as either light or love, is the most powerful energy in the universe.
Incidentally, I was also noticing in Matthew's letters that he refers to the extraterrestrials. Now, that's another area that most people are sort of afraid of. Could you speak on that for a minute?
Oh, absolutely. There. Okay. In all of the sightings of what are called UFOs, but all of the sightings of valid spacecraft that are manned by crews from other civilizations, all of those in our atmosphere are benevolent. They are of the light. They are here to help us in myriad ways, and they have been for a long, long time. Now, there are other extraterrestrials who are living among us.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are here from dark civilizations. More of them are here from light civilizations.
What would a dark civilization be like?
Well, they are the ones who have been causing so much suffering on the planet. They are here to, because suffering creates negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And the sources of suffering, wars, famine, people, impoverishment, everything that we would consider either evil or such a hardship that it causes massive suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Those few people are in powerful enough positions so that they can influence those circumstances to be caused. And their purpose is to create negativity.
Oh, I see.
Because those situations and the people's reactions to them do create massive negativity.
Uh-huh.
Negativity causes tremendous imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I mentioned that the importance of achieving balance is so that the light and the dark can be reconciled, because within balance there is only light. And that is what Earth has been going through for almost 70 years,
mm-hmm.
is getting back into balance. And her ascension course to achieve this balance is in the very late stages of her approach to fourth the energies, the higher vibrations,
so this
of
is coming,
fourth
this,
density, this, or what people call the golden age, the age of enlightenment. And then,
is that supposed to start at 2012?
Yeah, well, actually, we have been going toward it all this time. And the exposure of corruption in governments, in financial institutions, in corporations, corruption everywhere in this world, is literally bringing it to light.
Mm-hmm.
Because light, or call it love, is the only thing that can heal.
I see.
Because it is the most powerful energy in the universe, and it has the power to heal. So, actually, Earth has been going through a period of healing,
mm-hmm.
and each of us who accepts the light, embraces the light, is going through a period of healing too.
Right, right. Hold on another second. I have to identify ourselves. We're on the Blake Radio Rainbow Network, and this is Brother Kanya on the Tree of Life show, and I'm speaking to a very enlightened young lady here by the name of Susie Ward, and she's been talking about her communication with her son. And we won't call him dead because he's not dead, but he's transferred over to Nirvana. And he's been telling us of the communication that he's had with him. So go right along and keep talking, because it's blowing my mind. I find it so interesting.
Okay. Kanya, you asked me earlier about Matthew's life and spirit.
Yes.
And that's when I interrupted and said, may I please speak about something else first? But Matthew has not been living in Nirvana,
uh-huh.
which is simply the proper name of the world that we commonly call heaven,
right.
For about 12 years.
Really?
He had progressed. It's just temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Life there is not permanent.
Mm-hmm.
It is temporary for every single soul,
mm-hmm.
whose immediate past lifetime was on Earth.
Okay.
About 12 years ago, Matthew had reached, he had been promoted up through the ranks of the soul transition team.
Mm.
I mean, he had been director of it, of the millions of souls who are involved in that service. And so he was given the choice of becoming a member of the 100-member Council of Nirvana, which simply keeps order in the realm. It is absolutely not a bureaucratic governing body at all.
Oh, I see.
That was one choice. Another choice was to incarnate or reincarnate, I guess you could say. They're really the very same thing.
Okay.
In an advanced civilization.
On
advanced spiritually, intellectually, and technologically.
Would that be on this earth or another realm?
It would be a higher civilization.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, definitely another civilization in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
We are absolutely not an advanced civilization at this point, but we are becoming more advanced.
Mm-hmm.
The third option was to, by this time, because he had become known as being very successful in upgrading the Earth spirit realm, Nirvana, in helping traumatized souls, in healing them, so that their adjustment to life in the realm. I will go back to that in a moment about how souls are traumatized when they arrive. It is not the souls themselves. They are liberated. It is only the psyches that are traumatized, because whatever we are experiencing in the moment when the body dies, that is in the psyche, not the soul.
Mm-hmm.
But those psyches have to be healed so that the person themselves, because we take our interest and our knowledge and our various experiences and capabilities, but we add to it in Nirvana. Okay, now because Matthew became well known by other civilizations for upgrading that aspect of Nirvana, he was invited to other civilizations to evaluate their spirit worlds that are the equivalent of Nirvana to Earth. And so he was offered to do that full time.
Mm-hmm.
And because he has such an adventuresome spirit, that's obviously he chose that in a heartbeat.
Right.
And that's what he has been doing.
So is he in another realm? Has he reincarnated into another physical body, or is he still in the spiritual body?
Good question.
Yes.
He travels throughout galaxies, not just this one, but numerous galaxies. And it is physical civilizations who invite him. He manifests a body that fits in with whatever those bodies are.
Oh, speaking of bodies, let me ask you this question. It really struck me. He was, when he passed after his accident, he was 17. How old is he now?
He is as ageless as any of us is at soul level.
I see. Okay, in other words, he's just not a 17-year-old kid, run around.
He entered Nirvana at a physical age of 17.
Right.
But once he was there, the etheric body aged quite rapidly. Now, this happens to everybody.
Right.
At whatever age any of us enters Nirvana.
Okay,
we'll start with Matthew's age 17.
Okay.
He fairly rapidly aged in his etheric body to approximately 30 to 35 years mm-hmm. of age, what we would consider the prime of life.
Right.
Okay. Infants, or even those who are stillborn, also do that. Now, people, you know, some of us live to our 80s, 90s, even past 100.
Right.
Those bodies de-age.
Mm.
And now I'm speaking now of etheric bodies, because etheric and physical bodies are together.
Mm-hmm.
When the physical body dies, the etheric body and the soul make that lightning quick trip to nirvana.
Now, you used a word there that really interests me greatly. You said de-age, because I was reading the Edgar Casey, David Wilcock conversation where they're saying that is that exactly what's going to happen to people. They're going to de-age. The old people are going to recover their youth again. They're going to grow new limbs, grow new teeth, and be able to choose whatever age they want to be. Does that fall into the conversations of Matthew?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Totally.
Tell us
totally.
About that, because that's really very interesting.
Yes. Now, something that's extremely important to remember here is that when the bodies, the etheric bodies, get to that prime age, the psyche and the intelligence level keep growing. That doesn't stop.
Mm.
And acquiring new talents. But another aspect of life in Earth's spirit world is that we become aware of our other lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew speaks of this as the cumulative soul,
right.
Where other lifetimes experiencing and
yeah.
All of the knowledge and the various skills and training and talents that were developed in those other lifetimes. We are aware
that.
Of them.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because when I was a little boy, 2 years old, I used to imagine that I could remember 10 of my past lives, and I remember being Chinese, I remember being Jewish, I remember being an Indian, I remember being African, I remember being a woman. Now, quiet as it's kept, when you do transfer, that means the age or race or sex or none of like that is only a temporary quality, right? And there's no better or worse people by the race. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. At soul level, each of us has the same importance to God, the unconditional love of God. The variations come in by our choosing. We choose genders, races, belief systems.
Wealth and poverty and all like that too, right?
Yes, to mm-hmm. balance other lives. This gives me a good opportunity. Matthew just said, Mother, mention homosexuality.
Okay.
Homosexuality is a choice prior to birth. It is an advanced stage of spiritual growth, because it is a way of balancing the masculine and feminine energies. This has nothing to do with sexual practices. There is such a difference between masculine and feminine energies.
You're speaking of androgyny, aren't you?
Well, androgyny is the epitome of balanced.
Mm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes, it is. And homosexuality is an advanced stage toward androgyny. The imbalance in some people is caused by the emotions or the characteristics that are predominant in either masculine or feminine energy.
So you're saying, in effect, that as the new age progresses towards the, 2012, the incidence of prejudice against homosexuals is going to lessen. Would you say that's true?
Oh yes. It has to some extent legal and societal considerations. People who maintain that strong prejudice simply are unaware that Matthew explains this, and Matthew, Tell Me About Heaven, it's very clearly explained that why they are prejudiced. It's because their recent experiences as a homosexual person, and this is man or woman, that they suffered so greatly that those lingering memories in the cellular memory are not understood. They still, at some level, which they consciously do not realize, they are still enduring that pain. But they translate it as their bias, their prejudice against homosexuality.
I see.
And of course the Bible doesn't help that at all, because that is a total misinterpretation of the messages that really did come from God.
Right. By the way, I have a couple questions I'd like to ask you, because time is running out so fast, and this is very boring, troublesome to me, because I know that a lot of our listeners would like to call in. Maybe we're going to have you in again when I can get my computer fixed so we can take calls. Would that be all right with you?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, Kanya, it would be. But I do, I would like to urge your audience to go to my site.
Yes.
Because a lot of the things that you and I have just touched upon,
right,
are covered more comprehensively in the messages that are there.
I understand, but there's nothing like talking to the real thing. By the way, since he is in communication with other departed souls, does he ever make any reference to people like Martin Luther King or JFK or Malcolm X or any people like that? Are his messages take any of those into consideration?
I don't think they have.
Hmm.
I don't think that those individuals are mentioned specifically.
I see.
I may not be remembering. You know, with four books, and there are over 120 messages on the site.
Oh boy.
It's
yeah.
My memory is you know, pretty much right down here on earth.
Right. Mention the four books, because, like I say, we're almost out of time here, and we didn't get into those lovely books because I read them all.
Ah, good. Yeah. Well, I would like to mention that in the pages that are about the books, a sample chapter of each book is on
fantastic.
The site. So, and one of them is a message from God explaining who he is. I think that book is Illuminations for a New Era.
Mm-hmm.
In Matthew, Tell Me About Heaven, the chapter is how the souls that go to nirvana, you know, the ones that we consider lost or dead,
mm-hmm.
how they are greeted, and the care that is given to them, and how each one is greeted personally by name,
mm-hmm.
and how the family and friends who have gone on before know that the person is going to be arriving. So that would be a fascinating chapter to read. The chapter, I think Revelations.
Revelations for a New Era. Yeah, that's a beautiful book. I'm reading it right now.
That is why Cetaceans, the whales and the dolphins are of such critical importance to Earth,
right.
And that they, species-wide, they are the most highly evolved spiritually and intellectually souls on the planet.
Mm.
And why it is so vital to be to preserve their lives. I can't even remember the chapter from Voices of the Universe, but I'm sure that whatever chapter is there will be equally enlightening to people who read them.
And these are books, incidentally, that I had in my reading room in Harlem, and it was amazing how many people just took to them like, you know, a duck takes to water, because their spiritual messages are very important to African-American people, which I do believe using the right hemisphere of their brain more so than our friends from the northern areas. Would that make any sense to you?
Well, you know what would make more sense to me is that they, not only blacks, women. Yeah, okay, we've been called a minority too.
Okay.
Now, we're not in numbers, but minority in so far, just like Latinos, we are a minority in so far as attaining positions of influence.
Right. Well, that's all changing. There's no question about that now. Because...
Yeah. So, blacks, we women, we Latinos.
Yes.
And I don't mean just us, of course.
Yes, we folds.
But all of the groups that have been really oppressed, mm-hmm. insofar as rising to positions of to make changes, we now are working toward them. Our consciousness is rising.
By the way, we only have 1 minute left, and I wanted to ask you another pretty heavy question. Now, that as we speak about God and we speak about, you know, the spiritual soul, is there a difference between the two? Because in some ways, I think that our God selves are God. What would you say to that?
Each of us is a part of God.
Right.
We have our beginnings in
right.
God. And I don't want to confuse the issue by mentioning Creator, but God is the ruler of this universe. Creator is the supreme being of the cosmos,
okay.
which includes several universes.
We got 30 seconds left now.
Okay, and that again is explained in the messages on my site.
Okay.
So your readers can go there and get the full answer there.
Fantastic. And we want to certainly thank you for appearing on our show. And unfortunately, we haven't been able to take any calls from our many, many listeners that said they were going to call in. But we're going to get you back on the show, and I'm going to make sure that this is working correctly. And I thank you personally myself, and I'd say the Tree of Life show can be conducted 404-753-5700, and I'll share with you all the things that Susie has been sharing with me. Peace and love and many blessings, and thank you again, Susie Ward.
Love and peace to you and all of your listeners.
Bye-bye.
Bye.